Welcome to Creating Wealth with Jason Hartman. During this program, Jason is going to tell you some really exciting things that you probably haven't thought of before, and a new slant on investing. Fresh new approaches to America's best investment that will enable you to create more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine, self-made multimillionaire who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. He's been a successful investor for 20 years and currently owns properties in 11 states and 17 cities. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to financial freedom. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today, we're going to talk about a market. We have another vendor in the Big D, that's Dallas, so we're going to get another perspective on that. But I think the thing that you'll really like about this show, just when you thought it was completely unattainable, and just when we thought it was rather unattainable, not totally and completely, you can still get in with 5% down. And for those of you who own multiple properties, meaning more than 4 or more than 10 properties, you have the opportunity to get in with low down payments as well and get mortgages. Because if you have too many properties financed nowadays, it is very, very treacherous and very difficult to get that financing. So we're going to solve that problem for you today. We're going to solve a couple problems. So I think that'll be of great interest to you. Before we get started with today's special guest on this low down payment financing and high return opportunities, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about becoming a member. If you go to jasonhartman.com and you become a member, it entitles you to a whole bunch of cool discounts. And I know that many of you should become members because you are buying our products, our services, and registering for our events, and you're not getting the discount. So here I am telling you, take advantage and get your discounts. Just go to jasonhartman.com, click on Members, and you'll see three different membership options, silver, gold, and platinum, and you'll see what they include and the discounts that they offer. Also, we have a Frugal Friday discount for the Meet the Masters event. And by the way, this is going to be, and I've said it in the last few shows, a phenomenal Meet the Masters. I mean, the most packed schedule we've got. Packed, but at the same time, we are giving good time for speakers. We've reorganized some stuff. We've got the very best room at the Hyatt Regency Irvine. And by the way, I was able to register at some pretty good hotel rates for one of our guests today. Actually, for one of our speakers, I should say. So insist on good rates there. They do change all the time. It's just like an airline. It's subject to availability. One other site I will mention to you that's a great place to get hotel deals just in your general travels and for our event is hotwire.com. I use that all the time. I get 4- and 5-star hotels that I used to pay $270, $300 a night for. I get them for $99 a night. Sometimes I pay $119 a night, and occasionally I'll even pay $79 or $89 a night. For the same hotels just a couple years ago, I used to pay $270 or $300 for them. So hotwire.com is a great deal. And any of the hotels you would pick in that same Hotwire zone are right near the Hyatt Regency and right near the Orange County Airport, which the code for that is SNA if you're coming from out of town. So take advantage of that and join us for Meet the Masters. We've got a Frugal Friday discount. Now, I'm recording this on Thursday, and I know Friday is tomorrow. So what I'm going to do is go see if I can pressure our marketing manager over here. And she, I don't know if she can overhear me saying this, but I'm going to see if I can twist her arm to extend the Frugal Friday deal, and only you as listeners will know about it. Oh, she's shaking her head. She does hear me talking about this. And only you listeners will know about this, and I'm going to see if I can get that extended through Monday so that you can get $212 off the Meet the Masters price, so you're still getting in for a great deal, and you do not want to miss this event. It is going to be well worth it. We've got a couple of special gifts that aren't even on the website that we're going to be giving out at the event, so take advantage of that, and we just want to make sure we see you there. The next one will not be until October. So don't do anything scary and wait till Halloween time. Take advantage of that here in March. This is really the pivot year. The investments that we have right now are phenomenal. We have 7 different local market specialists flying out from all around the country. That's the most we've ever had at a master's event before. And I believe this is our 9th master's event. So this one will undoubtedly be the best one. Of course, we've got the best room. We've got the big comfy leather seats, the built-in desks in front of each person, the stadium room, et cetera, et cetera. And you're just not going to want to miss this one. So meet the masters. That's March 4th, 5th, and 6th. Come out for that. And be sure to go and leave your questions that you have that we will talk about on the show. We'll be happy to answer questions on the show if you go to our Facebook page. So just go to Facebook, of course. I'm sure you're familiar with Facebook by now. Most people are. I think there are about 12 people left on Earth that actually don't have a Facebook membership. But for the rest of you, you can just go to the Platinum Properties Investor Network page on Facebook and click like so that you get access to the page. And then you can leave any questions, just post them right on the page. And every time we record a show, we're going to pop over to our Facebook page, we're going to look at the questions, and we're going to answer them on the show. That will be a great way for you to get your questions answered easily and efficiently. And so do that, and we will be glad to answer your questions on the air. Do not miss Meet the Masters. Get a membership. You can get discounts that way. You can use the Frugal Friday discount through Monday, and you can do that at jasonhartman.com. And by the way, I better look on the site now and get you that promo code, because undoubtedly it will be taken down possibly before you have a chance to use it if you don't use this until Monday. So the Frugal Friday promo code is, write this down, it's Friday212. Friday212, because it's $212 off. So Friday212, and I'm going to get that extended for you through Monday. So the room is almost full for Meet the Masters, but we've got, I think, about 15 seats left. The room seats 80, so it's a large room, real comfy, and just want to make sure we fill it up and get everybody there at Meet the Masters. So take advantage of that, and we will look forward to seeing you March 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Hyatt Regency in Irvine. And let's go to the interview where we talk about low-down properties. Just when you thought that opportunity was no longer available, and these properties are all brand spanking new, and they're in the Big D in Dallas, Texas. So fantastic economic climate there, fantastic rental market. You're going to hear all about it. We'll be back with that in just a moment.
It only happens twice a year.
And the next Meet the Masters event happens on March 4th through 6th, 2011, in beautiful Orange County, California.
With our panel of experts, we're putting enough real estate brain power in one room to make Donald Trump flinch.
Meet the Masters is a powerhouse education that can revolutionize how you think about money and wealth in totally unique and incredibly innovative ways.
You will learn the smart way to choose properties by market and micro market, entity structuring for financial protection and privacy, how to grab every tax benefit the law allows and save on life's largest expense, how to put together the most creative financing package possible, the hidden power of the 1031 exchange, how to easily invest in dynamic growth markets outside of California.
You'll also receive one-on-one coaching from a professional real estate investment counselor. At Platinum Properties, no one falls through the cracks. We want you to succeed, and we're determined to do everything in our power to make that happen.
Will you be any closer to financial freedom in 1 year? 3 days can make all the difference if you simply have the courage to take action on your dreams.
The reality is that you can fire your boss and live life on your own terms sooner than you think. For more information about the Meet the Masters event and how to receive a $950 discount, go to jasonhartman.com/events.
Supplemental Market Predictions, brought to you by Platinum Properties Investor Network.
Dallas, Texas, 19.6% return on investment, 2011. Dallas experienced a series of moderate appreciation followed by a gradual contraction that has resulted in much less price volatility than has been experienced by other market areas. The area is expected to hit the bottom of its mild contraction in 2011 and then resume a course of modest appreciation. Dallas has a very strong business community and a large population of renters. This results in a much slower rate of value appreciation and a large supply of potential tenants. Currently, approximately 40% of listings in Dallas are from foreclosures. The primary strength of Dallas as an investment market is the strong cash flows that it generates. By building your investment on top of rents that are sufficiently large to pay for the expenses and mortgage on the investment, it will give you the power to hold strong until market conditions are optimal. In the case of Dallas, there is a perfect storm of factors that combine to make it a very strong investment market. The city has a very strong business sector that attracts skilled employees. The relatively high property taxes influence many people to rent their homes instead of buying them. This works to suppress price increases and place upward pressure on rents, since there is a relatively high percentage of the population who rents. One of the things that some people say about Dallas is that they don't care for the heat and humidity of summers in Dallas. This dislike of the weather convinces them that Dallas is not the place they would want to invest. This sentiment also demonstrates a great income property investing folly where people think that they should only invest in a place where they would want to live. Just because you would personally choose to live in one place or choose not to live in another doesn't mean that everybody else shares your sentiment. Many people have moved to markets like Dallas or Atlanta because of their superior employment opportunities. Based on this analysis, Dallas represents an excellent opportunity for income property investors. Now, let's look at the ROI build graph for Dallas as we predict the following multidimensional return on investment. 2.5% appreciation, 8.1% ROI from leverage, and 9.0% ROI from cash flow for an overall total ROI estimate of 19.6%.
It's my pleasure to welcome David to the show. He is a newer relationship that we have in Dallas. We find that this Dallas-Fort Worth metro area is so large, so sprawling. There are so many interesting opportunities that in large cities like this, like Atlanta, it really needs more than one local market specialist. Smaller cities, one will do the job, but in larger cities, we need to work with more and really make sure we exploit every opportunity available. David, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Jason. Thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. So firstly, I just want you to talk about the uniqueness of the financing package that you have on brand new properties in the Dallas metro area, and then we'll drill down later and go into the details of it.
Great. I'm a real estate developer, and my company builds single-family homes throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth metro, and we are willing to carry a piece of our equity in a junior loan or a second mortgage for our investor buyers. And what that looks like is someone comes with a conventional first mortgage and a typical down payment, and they close escrow. And the moment they close, we can go back in and provide a cash-out refinance second mortgage in the form of 15% of the purchase price.
So they basically get in with 5% down, and we thought these deals were over forever, but you've really got a creative package in terms of the way you offer it. They do have to have the full 20% plus closing cost initially, though, right?
That's correct. Yeah, our equity, we carry our equity in a cash-out refinance, and the reason for that is to be compliant with their first lender. They have to qualify for the conventional first mortgage, and our second mortgage mimics a 30-year fixed term and a fixed interest rate as well.
And there's nobody that says that you can't give them a refinance after they've closed the deal. So that's really a nice opportunity. It works with the system. It's above board, and that's the way we want to be. So go into, David, if you would, just for a moment here, just kind of an overview of what's going on in the greater Dallas market and the greater Dallas economy, job creation, why it's a good rental market, etc.
Yeah, the Dallas-Fort Worth metro is thriving in job growth and population growth. And there's a few things that are driving that. The first is Dallas has a terrific and diverse manufacturing base. Aerospace manufacturing, automobile manufacturing, also mineral extraction, oil and natural gas has been a big lifeline for that local economy. Even something as small as homeowners or older property owners that get a residual income check from their mineral rights. You know, in a slow economy, if you're out of work but you're getting a couple $100 a month for your mineral rights, it goes a long way to keeping that economy vibrant. You know, nowadays people, it's not as typical to own your mineral rights, but definitely oil, natural gas is a big driver there. And also distribution. A lot of goods come up the NAFTA superhighway out of Mexico, and they land in Dallas, and they're assembled and then redistributed throughout the United States, either via cargo trucking or on heavy rail. So manufacturing is a big deal. Also banking. You know, Dallas is home to a Federal Reserve, and one of 12, and a lot of banking and financial institutions want to co-locate in the Dallas area for financial services. And the other thing is the DFW airport makes Dallas a logistics hub for a huge number of Fortune 500 companies. Dallas-Fort Worth is the second, DFW airport's the second largest passenger airport and the number one cargo airport in North America, which means lots of, we call it the heartbeat, or the heart of the metro from an economic standpoint. Thousands and thousands of jobs because of that airport.
Yeah, the Dallas-Fort Worth airport is like a city unto itself. It's amazing how you do everything big in Texas, don't you?
That's right.
What's going on with the rental market? Drill down specifically to an investor and what their experience is going to be like. The rental market, the sale market, how quickly are properties selling, appreciation, depreciation. And of course, this is not what I'm talking about in terms of the whole market. I'm talking drilling down and micro markets here. But go ahead, tell us about that.
Yeah, so as your listeners probably know, Texas has no state income tax for your individual or your company income tax, which means a lot of companies in tough times are relocating. And when they relocate, for example, Copar is a big California corporation that's just relocated to Dallas. They're a multi-billion dollar company, and they're moving their employees with them. And what you see is a huge demand for housing because the job market there is strong. And the people that are arriving make good money. They probably used to have good credit, but because they're selling a California residence as a short sale or foreclosure, they're landing in the Texas market with a good job and bad credit.
Yeah, that's all too common a story. And it's really an interesting formula for the investor who's listening to the show in terms of how they can really profit by serving those people. The other thing, of course, when I was in traditional real estate years ago, when I would work with relocation buyers back in the day when people actually moved to California. That doesn't happen anymore too much. People actually used to move here from other states and have jobs and buy things and move here and be legal citizens and stuff. But you don't see that too much anymore nowadays in California. And people would always want to rent for a year first before they buy something. Even if they are in a position where they didn't have an underwater property that they short-sailed in another area, they still want to be renters in order to see what they like and really understand the areas and the best suitability for their lifestyle, don't they?
Yeah, and something that's unique about Dallas is the cost to own and the cost to rent are very similar when you're at the median price point and below. So if you're looking at an entry-level home, sometimes it's actually cheaper to own it than rent it when you factor in the tax benefits. But if it's a comparable price to own or rent, a lot of people are making the lifestyle choice to rent simply because they can live in a new house for 4 or 5 years. And when their lifestyle changes, they can change school districts or they can trade up to a bigger house or a smaller house as their lifestyle needs. And it's a very interesting mindset that I don't see in other parts of the country, just the renter culture at all price points. It's not specifically to the, you know, a lower socioeconomic or a higher socioeconomic.
Yeah, I definitely have noticed that in Dallas too. I've spent a lot of time there and I've noticed high-end rentals and all sorts of things there. One of the biggest things nowadays, David, that really can improve one's resume is mobility. It's the ability to move where the jobs are and to be nimble and quick. And there was an interesting article that I've talked about on the show before. I believe it was Time Magazine, might have been Newsweek. I think it was Time, several months ago. And it talked about how in areas with high homeownership rates, unemployment rates were higher. And I thought, isn't that interesting? The common thinking, the traditional thinking, is that homeownership is good for society and it makes for more stability and all this stuff. But what it really does is it makes you trapped. And so it's a great idea to own a lot of rental properties, and maybe even for a wealthy person that might be listening to the show, rent your own personal residence so that you have the nimble agility and flexibility to go where the opportunities are. That's just a really interesting perspective. And I'll give you my own personal example. I had my own home here in California on the market for 5 months last year, was not successful in selling it. I would like to move to Scottsdale, Arizona, and I'm about to go on the market again here. And boy, I wish I was a renter. I mean, it would be so nice to be free of the burden of if I could just wait till my lease expired and moved. It would just be such a freeing feeling.
Yeah. What's exciting, Jason, I'm like you, but I've actually done it. I own millions of dollars worth of real estate, and I rent.
Everybody keeps asking me, where are you going to buy when you move to Scottsdale? I'm like, I'm not going to buy. I'm going to rent. Now, I just bought an 11-unit apartment building in Scottsdale to rent to other people. But for my own home, I'm going to rent. Because I can rent for $4,000 a month. I can rent a property that someone paid $1.6 million for in Scottsdale. I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, for your primary residence, if you live in an area where cap rates are low, then for sure be a renter. And if you live in an area where cap rates are higher, then, you know, then you can make it, it makes it more logical to buy. But all of the tax advantages and the socioeconomic or just the social benefits are really pointing to being a renter.
Oddly enough, I know, it's not the common knowledge. I just want to stress so the listeners don't get confused on this issue. Renting a lower-end property, the type of property we recommend an investor buy, is not as sensible, because you just said, David, the difference between renting and owning in Dallas now, it's really negligible. It's about equal. So that's a better property to buy. If you were buying a property and you were pretty sure you were settled and you were going to stay in a certain place, which is always hard to know, better deal to buy it. But in a market where you want to live in a high-end property, it's a better deal to rent it a lot of the time, almost all the time. These beautiful, gorgeous $2 and $3 million homes in Newport Beach right by me, I mean, you can rent one of those for a song compared to the cost of owning one.
Yeah, for sure. It's the cap rate. As an investor, you're looking at what's my income relative to my purchase price. And as a homeowner, it's a different calculation. A lot of people buy emotions and they overpay. But you asked a question earlier about the status of the Dallas market and how it's doing. And what's really exciting is to see absorption happening and the vacancy rate improving. You know, I believe over the last year, the occupancy rate has increased 100 basis points or 1%, going from, depending on the submarket, between 93 to 95% occupancy, depending on the submarket. 95% occupancy is about as full as you can possibly be. Yeah, because you wouldn't factor just typical turnover time. That means, you know, you're getting someone in there about as quick as you can get someone moves out and the next person moves in. The other thing is pricing. It's really interesting how you slice the data. As a developer, we focus on the entry-level single-family home market, and over the last 3 years, we've been able to raise our prices about 1% per year. That's not, you know, huge appreciation, but at a time where other markets are declining 10 or 15% a year, for us to be able to raise our prices 1% a year is a great testament to the strength of the Dallas market. Now, when you put in all the numerical data and you average in, you know, $100,000 houses with $1 million houses, and you put all that data together, what you see is median price declining and average price declining in Dallas. And what that is showing is the number of transactions at the lower end of the market has gone up tremendously. So if you've got a data sample where you've got 10 entry-level home sales and one luxury home sale, then that's going to drag the prices down, even though if you really read through the data, it shows that the bottom of the market is very strong in Dallas.
So a lot of these people that are the renters are the people you just talked about with a great job, a great income, and a lot of times cash in the bank, but they just wanted to get out of an underwater property in a place like California. So that's a great tenant. That really makes a good tenant, even though their credit isn't so great. But you also have people that just really are unwilling to plan for the future. And that's always been the case, that the people that won't take the step back now to live in maybe a slightly lesser property. They always want to live in the best, so they're always just like perpetual renters throughout their lives, and that makes a great tenant too. I've had people like that stay in my properties for as much as 9 years at a time, no vacancy. So it's been really cool. What else would you like people to know about that, or in terms of what's happening with more about prices, not just rental prices, but also for sale prices?
Yeah, we are seeing occupancy rates go up, which is a precursor to rents being pushed upwards. We're seeing rental concessions less often. So now more and more people are paying market rent, you know, all the time, which is great. Our communities are focused around the $125,000 price point. My company has 7 different subdivisions open throughout the metro, so we've got something for everyone. And we really focus on that $125 price point, which means if there's one income earner making about $16 an hour or a double income earner making $8 or $9 an hour, they can afford our property. And that's a huge net. I would say that's the vast majority of the people entering the workforce now. That's kind of the price point that they are looking for. And those same properties, purchase price of $125, should rent for $1,150 to $1,250 a month.
Great. Yeah, so that's 1% RV ratio right about there. Now let's talk a little bit, if we can, David, about the way your deal works. So first of all, I want to rattle off a few questions for you, if I could. And you may or may not be able to answer all of these, but just give it your best shot if you would. And then maybe explain a little bit more about that refinance that comes right after the closing and how it all works. But first of all, a lot of people listening have more than 4 mortgages. They're investors, they've purchased properties in different parts of the country, and that's all well and good, but you've got the 4 loan issue and the 10 loan issue. Since the financial crisis began, those were really the caps that were out there. And I find they're a little bit malleable. These aren't totally hard and fast rules. Can someone buy with who already has more than 4 loans? Are they able to do these deals with you?
Yeah, for sure. If someone has good credit and good debt to income ratio, and they have the down payment to start with, we can get them up to 10 finance properties. The first 4 are with 20% down, and when we refinance you with 15% back out, so you're net 5% in the deal. If you're between 5 and 10 properties, you'll have to come with a 25% down payment. Then our company will give you a 15% cash out second, which gets you net 10% into the deal. If you're over 10 properties, we can get you an unlimited number of loans, but it becomes 35% down and then a 15% cash out second so that you're net 20% in the deal.
So I just want to make sure everybody really got that. So up to 10 financed properties, 5% down. Is that right?
Yeah, up to 4 properties, 5% down. From 5 to 10 is 10% down. Or net 10% down, because you got to put 25
right
down and get 15 back. Then if you're over 10 properties, we can go to infinity, but it becomes a 20% net down payment, 35 in and 15 out.
And you know, that's really quite interesting. That's not that bad. I mean, you're reminding me of Buzz Lightyear here, by the way, to infinity and beyond. But someone can purchase 20, 30 properties and still get in with net 20% down, which is still better than what they could do on a commercial property where they'd have to put 25, 30% or even more down. So that's pretty interesting. But at some point, they're going to hit the ceiling on the debt-to-income ratio too.
Yeah, what's interesting though is if someone has the down payment, our lender is a commercial lender that's really, once we're talking over 10 properties. So if you're over 10 properties, we can get you a commercial loan that's non-recourse, doesn't look at your debt-to-income ratio, doesn't look at your credit, and they're looking at 35% down. And it's a slightly higher interest rate on the first mortgage, but our second mortgage turns out to be a lower interest rate than the first. So it's kind of backwards, but that's just the way that the numbers work out. So when you blend the cost of the commercial first loan and our private second loan, you're in the high sixes as an interest rate. And, you know, with 20% equity in the deal, you're still getting great cash flow. And for someone who just had a foreclosure or they feel that they're tapped out from a financing perspective for whatever reason, this is a great way to get into the game with, it's still a very good rate, non-recourse, and still getting cash flow. what is really interesting is some people have focused previously on the net cash flow when they look at my deals. They say, hey, David, that's great that I'm in it for 5% down, but I'm only making 20 or 30 or 40 bucks a month. I could buy this property over here and make 250 bucks a month. And my argument to them is, would you rather have six properties making you 40 bucks a month or one property making you 240 bucks a month?
And so your answer to that is what? Yeah, I think I know what you're going to say.
Own more properties,
right?
And for a lot of reasons. First, you're going to make more from an appreciation, depreciation, and amortization when you own more property. And the second is, consider what the cash flow is going to be like on the first rent raise. If you own one property that's making you 250 bucks a month and your rent goes up 20 bucks, well, you're now making 270. If you own six properties that are started out, you know, at 40 bucks a month a piece, and they each go up 20 bucks a month in rent, now you're making 360 of cash flow versus the other property, just owning one at 270. So the more property that you own, or the farther you can spread your down payment, the more cash flow you're going to have in the future, and the more amortization you're going to have in the future, and the more tax benefit you're going to have, and the more appreciation. So the ability, I like to say, I'm always a terms buyer. I never buy on price. For example, a story that a lot of people tell is, hey, Jason, I will buy any property that you've got for any price that you want. So if you want me to buy your junky duplex for $2 million, great. You name the price and I'll name the terms. How about, you know, a dollar down and a dollar a month for 2 million months?
Right, exactly. No, terms are more powerful than price. There's no question, especially for the long-term investor. Obviously, if someone's looking to flip and do that type of thing, which is that's a business unto itself and it has a certain risk, no question about it, then you've got to be a price buyer because terms don't matter because you don't hold it long enough to benefit from the terms.
For sure. I think the perfect client for our terms package is someone who's got a 10-year hold horizon or greater. Because over 10 years, our terms are going to blow away any difference in price that you might make. For example, if you got a 10% discount now and you held the property for 10 years, you really made a 1% return per year. That's hardly any difference in your ultimate return. But if you were able to get in with high leverage, that's going to magnify your return much greater than any type of initial discount.
Well, and I can tell you how much it's going to magnify it. If your leverage is 5% down versus 20% down, that's four times the leverage. So there is your answer right there. It's much more significant in the leverage. And I've definitely noticed, David, that over the years, the people who buy and hold properties develop real wealth if they, of course, do it right. And the people who are the flippers, they have spending money. I think the listeners listening are obviously more into real wealth than a little bit of pocket change.
We'll be back in just a minute.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn about investing in and managing income properties for college students, there's a show for that. If you want to learn how to get noticed online and in social media, there's a show for that. If you want to know how to save on life's largest expense, there's a show for that. And if you'd like to know about America's crime of the century, there's even a show for that. Yep. There's a show for just about anything, only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
So a couple other questions for you. How long does the property take to be constructed? Do you have them that are already built, or is it always an under construction type of thing? What's the total time from an investor's listening to this today? They visit our website at jasonhartman.com. They look at the pro formas with all the complete information and details, and they talk to one of our investment counselors and they say, hey, you know, I want to pull the trigger on two or three of these. How long before they're closed and they've got their cash out refi?
First thing we would do is take them through a financing prequal to make sure that they qualify for a conventional first mortgage. Then we'd write a purchase contract that has a 20-day cooling off period so they can change their mind for any reason for the first 21 days. And during that 21 days, if they'd like to come out to the marketplace to see the property, I really encourage people to be in contract first. And it's, again, it's a non, for 21 days, it's a fully refundable contract. And then we're about 3 months for construction. Because we're a builder, we don't build on spec. We own our land, but we actually don't start a house until we have a buyer. About 3 months from the time that they sign a contract until we actually hand over the keys. What's great about that, too, is we have a turnkey system integrated with property management, with financing, with a developer, and it's kind of like a salad bar. People can come and pick, you know, a la carte, or they can say, hey, I want everything. Just put a little bit of everything on my plate. I'll take the whole team for property management and financing, legal, tax, the whole gamut. And when they do take 3 months to build a house, our property manager has 3 months to market for tenants. And so what we find is during the strong rental seasons, which are going to be spring and summer, we've had 100% success rate where the day the investor closes, we have a rental application for the property. And I think that's actually a great asset. What a lot of people do, they buy a property and then they've got to carry it while they go find a tenant. And here's another unique thing about relationship and team. Our company builds the houses and we provide a 10-year builder warranty, which the first line of defense is our company, and we also purchase for the owner's benefit a third-party insurance plan. That's a builder warranty insurance. So if for some reason, you know, I'm hit by a truck and our company disappears, there's another insurance company that will honor the warranty request. And the concept behind us carrying a junior mortgage, I know my clients are all, I'm going to take all of my profit is in that note. I don't make any profit on a sale until the investor pays off their note over 30 years. And I'm an income investor. That's what I'm investing in, that long-term income, just like your clients are investing in that long-term income. I want and need your clients to be successful investors, because if they're not making income, if their house isn't performing, they're not getting the income, and I know they're not going to pay.
They're going to default eventually on your loan.
You yeah. got it.
And by the way, let me just comment on that, everybody, because you've heard me say this on the show before and at the live events. We've got the Meet the Masters event coming up. You've heard me say it there and at the Creating Wealth in Today's Economy program that we do. And the best insurance is a high loan balance, because the lender becomes your partner. They become your advocate. They want to see you succeed. Whereas if you have a lot of equity, you are your only hope. If something goes wrong, there's no one that's going to come to your rescue, because they know they don't need to. They're protected because they've got a large equity position. When you have low equity, that lender becomes your advocate and your partner. And that's one of the things, when we first started talking a while back, David, I really, really loved about your offering, is that you're in it with our client.
For sure. In fact, I've got 3 times more money invested in the property than your client does.
That's a very good point.
I am triply more motivated for the investor to be successful. And because if there's a loss, the first loss comes off of the equity, which is the 5%, and the second loss is me as the junior lien holder.
And 5% isn't much margin, as we well know, because of the financial crisis that we're in, right?
That hasn't
been much of a margin for lenders. Okay, so what types of loans are the investors getting on the property? Tell us about the terms of that, the first and second loan that they're getting. They get the first from the bank, and then they're getting the second cash out refi from you. What are the terms like?
Yeah, we're seeing people, depending on their credit profile on the first, are typically getting between 5% and 5.25% with, you know, 0 to 1 point on their first loan.
30-year fixed?
And 30-year fixed loan, yeah. I think right now the 30-year fixed money is so cheap, and we're about to head into some pretty high periods of inflation. Get as much 30-year fixed debt as possible. That's my personal philosophy.
Couldn't agree more. Stock up on debt. The mortgage is a huge asset. And I mean, these rates are like nothing nowadays. So it's basically free money. If the inflation rate goes to 6%, you're actually making money on the deal just through inflation. And think about it, if you're listening, folks. You're not going to finish paying off that loan until 2041. Can you imagine how much the world will change by then? How much the entitlement time bomb, which is $60 trillion plus, will affect our inflation rates in the future? Things that are happening now have never before happened in world history, and the game has changed. Stocking up on 30-year long-term fixed-rate debt is the way to go. Okay, the terms on the second loan, David.
Yeah, and to echo that point, I have a family member that actually held a loan for 30 years to maturity, and when they made their last mortgage payment, and when they bought their house, it was with, I think, 10% down, and when they made their last mortgage payment, it was the equivalent of a dinner out for their family. And just inflation had really devalued the cost of that mortgage so much, and that's what we're headed into now. So our second mortgage is a 30-year fixed note as well, and it's at 5%, amortized over 30 years.
And is it amortized, is it due in 30, or is it due sooner?
No, it's fully amortized over 30 years. So they make payments of approximately $100 a month is their principal interest on their second, and there's no balloon. It mirrors the full 30-year amortization.
Fantastic. You can't complain about that. All right. What about the upfront deposit? I know it's refundable for 21 days in terms of the cooling off period. How much is the deposit?
We take a 10% of purchase price earnest money deposit. There's for two reasons. The first is we have a construction lender, and our construction lender requires our buyers to have 10% skin in the game. And so that's the main reason. The second is we want to make sure, because we're not building spec, we're building a house specifically for, you know, your clients, that after the cooling off period, that they are serious and that they're ready to go. And, you know, they've mitigated that risk by doing a pre-qual. And, you know, really they're making a commitment about 70 days prior to close of escrow that they really want to buy that house. And we find that when someone makes that kind of a commitment, a 10% earnest money commitment, we don't get buyers to back out. You know, when we have a low default rate, so to speak, that helps our profitability as a company, and that allows us to pass on better terms to our buyers.
Yeah, you've got to know that your deal's going to close, but there's a long cooling off period in there, so the investor shouldn't be too wary of that. You know, David, what are the risks to the investor as you see them in them doing this deal? Just put yourself in their shoes for a moment, and what do you view their risk being? Every deal has some risk.
Certainly, the risk is a cash flow risk and someone's inability to control such a large amount of debt. I believe to the bottom of my toes that if you can hold this property for 30 years, it doesn't matter whether the price goes up or down. Inflation is going to make the price go up, you know, is my opinion. But even if you bought it for a $6,000 down payment, and over 30 years, the property value went from 125 to 80, and you sold it for 80, you recoup your $6,000 investment, you made a $74,000 profit over 30 years, which is, on an annualized basis in the high triple digits for a return, even if the prices decline. But the risk is, and I don't think they're going to decline, I think they're going up, partly because Dallas is a strong market and partly because our currency is devaluing as we speak.
Well, you've got a Federal Reserve branch right there, so you should know.
Right. We get the cash first, which is part of the reason our economy is doing well. But the risk is cash flow. We're starting out with a fairly slim positive cash flow to start. And when someone comes in with 5% down, I would really encourage them to have cash reserves, that for them to consider, hey, I'm doing 5%. For example, you could buy a property with 20% down, your equity is stuck there. I think that's a much higher risk position than taking your 20%, using 5% to buy one property, using another 5% to buy a second property, and now you've got 10% of your purchase price in cash reserves.
Well, no question about it. We did an analysis on this, and I coined this phrase, deferred down payment. So you put your down payment down, you get 15% or 3/4 of it back from you in that cash out refi, but you've got to keep reserves in the bank to cover any potential vacancies or just unforeseen problems. So, but the analysis of the break-even point on the 5% versus 20% down the last time we did it was like 9 years. I mean, it's crazy not to just love putting so low down. You just have to be responsible enough enough to keep some cash in reserves. I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. How thin is the cash flow? I mean, because they basically haven't paid for the property yet. The down payment's so low. Once they get that cash out refi, what does the cash flow look like?
We're looking at about, after you've paid your principal, interest, your taxes, insurance, a vacancy factor, a management fee, and a maintenance reserve, you're looking at about $25 to $50 a month, depending on, you know, your interest rate and a few other variables, which to me, I like to tell my clients, it's break even.
You know, right, it is.
You're holding this asset for the amortization benefit, which is twice as big as normal because you've got a first and a second mortgage. You're holding it for the appreciation benefit, which is a hedge against inflation. You've got a great tax shelter because your mortgage deduction is high and you're able to acquire more real estate, which gives you, you know, more of depreciation to put on your balance sheet. And eventually, you know, the first time you get a rent increase, you're going to start to see terrific cash flows.
People have to understand that on a $125,000 property, for example, their net down payment here is only $6,250. I mean, if you bought a mutual fund, you'd put $125,000 down on it. If you bought any other property, you'd be putting four times that amount down. So that's really the thing the investor needs to keep in mind. And I just find it fascinating and a little bit frustrating, frankly, how quickly people forget that they never put any money into the property in the first place, hardly.
For sure.
You own a $100,000 stock portfolio. How much you put into that? $100,000.
If over a period of 10 years or 15 years, you drop another $5,000 or $6,000 into the property in negative cash flow, you're still only into the property for 10% down. And after 10 years, you're gonna have a huge amount of equity just from amortization alone, and I'm speculating rents going up substantially over that time frame. But here's another great compensating factor for the cash flow, which is our clients are buying a new product. And for a first year, it's a bumper-to-bumper warranty. Everything in the house is covered exclusive of vandalism or, you know, tenant damage. So there's no exposure of risk for defects in the property because of the insurance. And over the 10 years, all of the major systems are covered. So for example, you know, if you buy a house and it has a foundation problem, well, that's a huge potential cash outlay for a typical investor. And that type of problem isn't covered by your average home warranty. You know, a home warranty is usually covering plumbing and maybe some fixtures and things like that. But the big ticket items like a roof and the plumbing and the electric and the foundation, you want a builder's warranty because that's the strongest warranty you can get to protect your cash flow from, you know, just exposure to the market.
Absolutely. You have 7 different developments around the city, so there's a good variety of product. What different sort of subdivisions or areas, parts of the city?
I'm a particular fan of the Duncanville area, which has got a very strong school district. And the great thing is the ratio between rents and purchase price really makes sense. I'm also a fan of the Arlington area, which is near the Cowboys Stadium and the Rangers Ballpark. We have some duplex subdivisions in the Arlington area that are going to make some great cash flow for somebody. I also like the area that is the South Fort Worth area, just very, you know, middle class, working, blue collar neighborhoods, but people are living there by choice. And you've really got a good ratio between purchase price and rent. There are some very desirable parts of the metro that I would want to live in, but I wouldn't invest in because the cap rates are low. You know, for example, the Addison and the Highland Park, University Park.
Highland Park is like one of the most expensive areas in the country. I mean, that's,
it sure is, yeah. Or even areas like Frisco. Yeah, I like Frisco a lot.
Yeah, I like Frisco
too. Living in Frisco, but you're not seeing cap rates that make sense there. The rents are the same in Frisco as they are in Duncanville, but the purchase prices in Frisco are probably 15-20% more for the exact same product. If you're a cap rate buyer, you say, would you rather have, you know, a 6.5 cap or 7 cap down in the southern part of the metro, or, you know, 5.5-6 cap in the northern part of the metro? Well, I'd rather have the higher cap rate.
Right, exactly. Okay, good. Good to know. So thank you very much. And you'll have properties on our website. People can look at those, jasonhartman.com. Just click on properties. And David, we appreciate having you join us today. And you know what? We may just arrange a tour out to your area with clients eventually and do that so that we can drive around on the bus and show them the properties firsthand. Thanks for joining us.
Great. I sure look forward to working with your clients.
You know, Penny, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Rich. Jason actually has a 6-book set on creating wealth that comes with over 100 hours of the most comprehensive ideas on investing in business. They're in high-quality digital download audio format, ready for your car, iPod, or wherever you want to learn.
Yes, and by the way, he's recently added another book to the series that shows you investing the way it should be. This is a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Jason actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets that are untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches us how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
He's recorded interviews with Harry Dent, Peter Schiff, Robert Kiyosaki, Pat Buchanan, Catherine Austin Fitz, Dr. Dennis Waitley, T. Harv Eker, and so many others who are experts on the economy, on real estate, and on creating wealth.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered with a savings of $385.
Now, to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series complete with over 100 hours of audio and 6 books, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you.
People who follow Jason Hartman's Creating Wealth show know how much he likes markets with good affordability and attractive cash flows. When you add a favorable tax environment with an inviting business climate, you have an accurate description of Dallas. As a nexus point for business relocation and expansion, Dallas represents a very favorable opportunity for investors who are looking to get ahead of future growth trends. Dallas, with an estimated population nearing 1.3 million, is the third largest city in Texas, behind Houston and San Antonio, respectively. It's the main city and economic center of the 12-county Dallas-Fort Worth-Arlington metropolitan area that, according to the March 2009 U.S. Census Bureau release, had a population of 6,300,006 as of July 2008. Making it the fourth largest and number one fastest growing metropolitan area by population in the nation last year. It's also the center of the largest metro area in Texas.
Founded in 1841 and formally incorporated as a city in February 1856, the city's economy is primarily based on banking, commerce, telecommunications, computer technology, energy, and transportation. Located in North Texas and a major city in the American South and Southwest, Dallas is the core of the largest inland metropolitan area in the United States that lacks any navigable link to the sea. The city's prominence, despite this, comes from its historical importance as a center for the oil and cotton industries, its position along numerous railroad lines, a strong industrial and financial sector, and its status as a major inland port, due largely to the presence of Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, one of the largest and busiest in the world.
Dallas, like many other cities in the world, was founded along a river. The city was founded at the location of a white rock crossing of the Trinity River, where it was easier for wagons to cross the river in the days before ferries or bridges. The Trinity River, though not usefully navigable, is the major waterway through the city. Its path through Dallas is paralleled by Interstate 35 East along the Stemmons Corridor, then south alongside the western portion of downtown and past South Dallas and Pleasant Grove, where the river is paralleled by Interstate 45, until it exits the city and heads southeast toward Houston. The river is flanked on both sides by 50-foot-tall earthen levees to protect the city from frequent floods.
The city of Dallas has many characteristics that make it a nexus for investment. These three vectors are demographics, quality of life, and the business climate. The demographics of Dallas support growth because of the large in-migration of people seeking a more attractive business climate. The affordable housing, ample access to arts and entertainment, and plentiful shopping options create an attractive quality of life in Dallas. The business climate in Dallas is extremely attractive due to the favorable tax environment in Texas, the concentration of business in the Metroplex area, and availability of transportation from both the freeway network and the airport.
U.S. Census estimates released in 2007 indicated that there were 1,240,499 people living in Dallas proper. According to census data compiled between 2005 and 2007, there were 440,633 households and 257,339 families residing in the city. The combined population of Dallas-Fort Worth is 6.1 million people, which is expected to grow to 7.7 million by 2025. In the city, the population was spread out with 26.6% under the age of 18 and 8.5% who were 65 years of age or older. The median age was 32.1 years. The median income for a household in the city was $40,147, and the median income for a family was $42,670. The per capita income for the city was $25,904. About 18.7% of families and 21.7% of the population were below the poverty line, including 33.6% of those under age 18 and 13.4% of those age 65 or over. For more information, contact an investment counselor at jasonhartman.com.
The Dallas-Fort Worth area has a cost of living that is 8.6% below the national average. The Arts District in the northern section of downtown is home to several arts venues, both existing and proposed. Notable venues in the district include the Dallas Museum of Art, the Morton H. Meyerson Symphony Center, the Trammell and Margaret Crow Collection of Asian Art, the Nasher Sculpture Center, the Dallas Contemporary, and the Dallas Children's Theater. The City of Dallas maintains and operates 406 parks on 21,000 acres of parkland. Its flagship park is the 260-acre Fair Park, which hosted the Texas Centennial Exposition in 1936. The city is also home to Texas's first and largest zoo, the 95-acre Dallas Zoo, which opened at its current location in 1888. Dallas is home to the Dallas Mavericks and Dallas Stars. Both teams play at the American Airlines Center, as did the Dallas Desperados of the Arena Football League before that league's demise in 2009. The Major League Soccer team, FC Dallas, formerly the Dallas Burn, used to play in the Cotton Bowl, but moved to Pizza Hut Park in Frisco upon the stadium's opening in 2005. The college Cotton Bowl football game was played at the stadium through its 2009 edition, but has moved to the new Cowboys Stadium in Arlington. Nearby Arlington, Texas, is the new home to the Dallas Cowboys of the National Football League. Since joining the league as an expansion team in 1960, the Cowboys have enjoyed substantial success, advancing to 8 Super Bowls and winning 5. Known widely as America's Team, the Dallas Cowboys are financially the most valuable sports franchise in the world, worth approximately $1.5 billion. They are also the second most valuable sports organization in the world. The Cowboys are only outvalued by Manchester United, a soccer club from England, who are valued at $1.8 billion. The Cowboys are relocating to their new 80,000-seat stadium in suburban Arlington. Also in Arlington is Rangers Ballpark, home of the Texas Rangers of Major League Baseball.
The Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex as a whole has one of the largest concentrations of corporate headquarters in the United States. With an unemployment rate of only 4.7% and over 128,000 businesses, Dallas represents a highly attractive business environment. It's also highly attractive for entrepreneurs and has ample access to transportation, with direct flights to most major U.S. cities in 4 hours or less.
A recent study ranked the Dallas-Fort Worth area number 2 in job growth for the nation. This makes Dallas an extremely attractive nexus for investment, specifically for income properties, since the strong job growth in the area will help to keep the rental market strong for a considerable length of time. This will create tremendous opportunities for investors.
The Dallas-Fort Worth area has a broad diversity of employment, ranging from transportation to technology and education. This base of employment fuels the rapid job growth that has come to epitomize Dallas-Fort Worth over recent years and is expected to create job market stability into the foreseeable future.
Dallas-Fort Worth also plays host to many foreign-owned corporate subsidiaries, further adding to its attractiveness as a business nexus. This represents another key characteristic of the Metroplex that makes it a magnet for commerce. By attracting both domestic and foreign business, Dallas-Fort Worth has established itself as a key growth area for both the present and the future.
The city of Dallas has 12 Fortune 500 companies, the third most in the United States, while DFW as a whole has 22. New additions to the list include AT&T, which announced plans in June of 2008 to relocate its corporate headquarters to downtown Dallas from San Antonio, and Comerica Bank, which relocated in 2007 from Detroit. Irving is home to 4 Fortune 500 companies of its own, including ExxonMobil, the most profitable company in the world and the second largest by revenue, Kimberly-Clark, Fluor Engineering, and Commercial Metals. Additional companies internationally headquartered in the Metroplex include Southwest Airlines, American Airlines, Radio Shack, Neiman Marcus, 7-Eleven, Brinker International, AMS Pictures, ID Software, Ensco Offshore Drilling, Mary Kay Cosmetics, Chuck E. Cheese's, Zales and Fossil. Corporate headquarters in the northern suburb of Plano include Electronic Data Systems, Frito-Lay, Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, and JCPenney. For more information, contact an investment counselor at jasonhartman.com.
The Dallas Area Freeway System is set up in the popular hub and spoke system, shaped much like a wagon wheel. Starting from the center of the city, a small freeway loop surrounds downtown, followed by the Interstate 635 loop about 10 miles outside downtown, and ultimately the tolled President George Bush Turnpike. Inside these freeway loops are other boulevard and parkway-style loops, including Loop 12 and Beltline Road. Another beltway around the city, upwards of 45 miles from downtown, is under plan in Collin County. This has helped to make Dallas the equivalent of an inland port for trucking and transportation.
The migration to Dallas-Fort Worth is not limited to employees, startup enterprises, and small businesses. There are multiple Fortune 500 companies that are moving to the Dallas area because of its low taxes and favorable business environment relative to more expensive business environments, such as California.
Dallas represents a highly attractive real estate market, with home prices that are 23% below the national average. In addition to this, Dallas has a large amount of existing office and industrial space to absorb continued expansion. While most markets are contracting in value, the Dallas market is actually going up. In addition to this, apartment occupancy rates are over 90%. These factors lead to excellent cash flow, attractive return on investment, and the potential for long-term value appreciation.
The real estate market in Dallas exhibits many attractive characteristics, with good housing supply at all price ranges, a very reasonable average home price, excellent price stability, attractive occupancy for rental units, and tremendous prospects for long-term appreciation.
The Dallas-Fort Worth area is going through a business and building boom that has become the envy of the nation. The net migration of people and businesses toward Dallas is a trend that is likely to continue into the foreseeable future as people move out of high-tax environments such as California and relocate to more attractive business climates. If you are interested in the investment opportunities available with the Dallas market, contact your investment counselor for a one-on-one consultation. In addition to the investment properties, ask your counselor about our coaching programs, where they will work alongside you to develop a holistic strategy that merges attractive investments, solid financial planning, exceptional education, and a strong focus on personal values to help you achieve your goals now and into the future. We are ready to help you realize the success that you have dreamed of. Are you ready to take the next step? This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.